And welcome everyone back to Spocast. Johnny Cashmere here along with my usual peeps. Let's get him in here first. JP Grayson, what's up, brother?
What's up, yo? Here you go. Boom.
That's it. And your brother will be here shortly. You guys are just getting off the road. We have a lot to talk about. Let's get in big 80s Donnie B. What's up, Donnie?
Hello. It's good to see you all again this week. Big New York Giants up, win Donnie? Last week. Let's celebrate that.
That's it. That's it. Tommy Grayson, what's up, my brother?
How you guys doing? Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, that's it. You guys, we're on the air here Tuesday, September 24th. Lot to talk about, you guys. The show's called Dream Sequence because we're going to debut a new segment, and I'm going to tell a story which may freak a few people out. It is almost Halloween season, as you can tell by looking at Donnie B's background. Good stuff, Donnie B. Crowd goes wild.
I'm trying. I got to fine-tune this, but I'm trying.
I like it. Looks good. You like my background? JP, you have a nice background too, the Backseat Boys.
That's right, the OG background.
Yeah, his. So I got a little surprise for you guys right quick. Got a special guest in here since we're not going to have Mr. Bristow tonight. He is busy. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Referee from former CZW referee trained by Atha the Wild Samoan, Brian Logan. We call him Gee. What's up, Gee?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
What's up, Gee?
What's up? What's up?
Gee was the road partner of me and Trent Acid on too many road trips, and with Donnie B as well, the four of us a lot of times. And Brian Logan has a lot to talk about and a lot of good backseat stories. And he's got a great viewpoint on the wrestling business, albeit bitter a bit, but you have a right to be, I guess. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself. Trained by Atha, the late, great Wild Samoan.
Yeah, many moons ago, back in 1997. God, it seems like 30 years ago. Actually, it was. You got to remember, back then, his school was one of the more prominently known ones. The Monster Factory is another one. The Hearts, I believe, had a school that, like, there weren't. It came about a few years after that, but Donnie will notice as well. There weren't a lot of wrestling schools back then. Usually, schools were ran by guys that were former workers from WWF or someplace else. Sharps had one. Atha had one. Kowalski had one, but they weren't on every corner and everywhere local like they are, like they were and end up being later on. And that's where I decided to go. And it was an experience. I mean, his school was different than most. One of the coolest things there, the original school in Whitehall, was all the walls of the school and the gym were autographed by everybody that ever worked Allentown. So you saw names like Bruno Sammartino, Macho Man Randy Savage, Bill Apter, Elizabeth, Andre the Giant. I mean, it just went on and on and on. A lot of history there. And I've always had good stories too. As kids, I mean, I think Samoans are just born knowing how to work. I mean,
yes.
The athleticism they all have, even their kids.
Yes.
I mean, Atha Jr. was what, 12, and he was already like 6'1", and he worked Trent Sports Fest. I mean, these guys are just born knowing how to do it.
That's the thing too, and. You know, when you have guys like that that know what the hell they're doing and you can be under their tutelage at a young age, you know, you were coming down to Philly and teaching us stuff because you were learning it from the Samoans. You know, you were really well trained. And here's another thing, Brian, people don't realize. When you step into the ring and you go to the Samoans and say, I want to be a referee, they still trained you like a wrestler because you used to do like – Yeah.
Smart. I just didn't learn matches, but I was the one they all beat up. I was the one they all – I could learn – I could take stuff. I couldn't give it.
Right. Right. So, well, I remember you had the lot used to do a second rope lion salt.
Oh, back in the day.
Wow.
I swear to God, I've seen it with my own eyes in training.
I wouldn't hit anybody with it. It's definitely a missed spot. That's not a
I'll connect. Gladly empty out some of one of my bank accounts to put some money towards that. If we could see that maybe on
the only
November 2nd.
You also see Donnie's ability to bump.
No.
The ring to the floor without getting grass stains on his white suit. Ironically,
that's hard to do. Yeah.
From a Samoan as well.
That's right.
We'll set up GoFundMes in both of your guys' honor to donate to the Gee Moonsault and the Donnie B apron.
I would fall like a spider with all arms and legs out so I didn't land on the grass because I didn't want to get the suit dirty. That's true.
It is
not
true.
Not now, though. Yeah.
But the Donnie kick is devastating, guys. Don't underestimate the Donnie kick.
Especially if the power of the pencil was behind it.
That's it.
Oh, God.
That's it. That is it. But so, Donnie, Brian, Logan, I don't know if you guys saw, but it was a huge weekend for the Backseat Boys. They are now the trifecta tag team champions. Guys, so you now are the tag champions of Juggalo Championship Wrestling. Wrestling is now. And SPO Wrestling. Congratulations, guys. For real. How's it feel?
Feels good. I mean, it feels great. You know, the SPO title is back where it belongs, back at home where the backseats are, and in the backseat. It's, you know, been a long journey getting those titles back from the rep, but finally back where they belong, including
look at that picture.
The win titles. I mean, check this out. I mean, first time ever. We were the first ever two-time SPO Wrestling and win tag team champions.
That's it. And they actually thought about that. So if you guys look closely, there's actually two win titles. So the title, the lesser, the gold title is the win tag title, one on the shoulders. The one opposite the win title is another title that the SAT have with Trent Acid and Jay Briscoe on it. It's like a, something that it's like their own titles, and they gave them to the backseats to bring on the JCW tour as well, which I think is just amazing.
I got it right here for you. If you can get a question.
We got some more info about that version of the win tag title. We'll have more information about that once everything gets, you know, finalized and confirmed. We were talking to Joel about that, and we're gonna figure out a way how we can incorporate that. Wrestling is now, maybe in the future. So until then, stay tuned.
Congratulations. Yeah, you know what that belt reminds me of right there? Donnie will remember this. That looks like the Savannah Jack UWF TV title for Watts.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
No, that's a great design, man. And how
you don't see it that often. You don't see it that often. That's why it's jumped out at me.
Yeah. Can you imagine Trent and Jay right now looking down, looking at that, going, oh man, they're laughing. They're seeing that, right. Like, y'all making this big fuss over us.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what they are doing.
Birdie saying, you mark.
But you know what they are doing is they're ribbing us. Trent, Jay, Barr, all the boys upstairs, they're ribbing us by making all of us carry around up to four belts at a time. So that's what
they're doing. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, even just traveling with them, you know, recently, it's, add some extra weight in the luggage, as you know. Yeah, as they say.
And then, of course,
I just think when I see that, like, how we're never going to see it. But my God, imagine if you got Johnny and Trent versus you two, like, you know, teachers versus students, or Jay and Mark versus you guys. Like,
oh my God,
holy shit, dude. It would have been fucking 10 years worth of matches, man. It's just insane, dude.
Well booked. Oh, Mark and Jay, as teenagers, people forget that, as teenagers, just had, I mean, they were like balls of fire with iron necks. I mean, those kids could take bumps. I'm like, my
Kentner.
God.
They started with Kentner underage. I think they had a lie to get in Kentner's. I'm pretty sure they had to work their age or something with Jim. I'm almost positive that's what happened.
Yeah.
They had to for CZW.
Didn't they do something with Mark Hildreth, Van Hammer, in Maryland, too? I heard he had a ring in the house.
That's right. Maybe. I forgot about that. They were hooked up with Van Hammer back in the day.
We talked about that. Maryland Championship Show. Van Hammer was there for one of the Shane Shamrock Cups. I talked to him for a while, and they were all there. And man, that's back in the day, man.
Danger Ginger says, imagine going through airport security with all those belts. Right. And like, not only that, like Donnie and Brian, if you could have seen Saturday night, the referee literally could not hold all three belts up over his head.
Nope.
He couldn't do it. Yeah. They kept falling. Yeah. It was real awkward, the poor guy.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
that's what TSA pre-check comes in handy for. If not,
it's $75 bucks I ever spent.
And, a lot of people don't know about that, believe it or not. Like people in, I'd say, the layperson world don't know about pre-check. It's a huge time saver.
Well, actually, the marks get TSA pre-check. Those in the know get global re-entry or clear. So that's the next level. Clear is TSA pre-check. For pre-check, and then global re-entry is if you do a lot of international travel, that's like the level above that. Rocco Dorsey has hooked me up with all that. He's a TSA agent.
How about that?
I didn't want to blow that up. I don't know if I was supposed to say that.
I didn't know that.
No, he's a TSA guy, so I get all my knowledge from him.
So, real quick, before we talk about their match they had Saturday, which you guys, I think it's one of the best, probably the best match I've ever seen these guys have in person. I'll talk about that in a second. But first, we have to say we have a new heavyweight champion, a new gold champion of SPO Wrestling, the Feral Face, defeated Channing Decker this past Saturday at Wrestling Is Now in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, in a match that was off the charts, sick and awesome. They took the ropes off the ring, so the ring was just there as like a canvas. They were all over the place. There were weapons galore. It was one of the most hard-hitting matches I've ever seen. Channing Decker was definitely worse for wear afterwards. He had to be tended to by physicians. It was definitely a match that went crazy. So, guys, obviously, it was not streamed. It is not out anywhere right now to be watched. Will they be able to see the matches that happened at Wynn this past Saturday night for SPO Wrestling, and if so, when?
So I actually have an update on that. So a couple of weeks ago, we discussed that Trip TV Season 1, given that the finale has, in fact, aired, Season 1 is all in the books, that Trip TV, as we know it, was going to be reshuffled. And myself, Donnie B, Johnny Cashmere, and my brother came to the conclusion that, you know, the best way to do Trip TV, if we do want to stick to a more free-form schedule and, you know, get more outside-the-box content, is to, you know, do just that. Incorporate non-SPO matches. So matches that, you know, represent SPO wrestling without necessarily be SPO wrestling-promoted matches. So matches like Feral Face versus Channing Decker, title versus title. Matches like Triple Threat Tag Team Championship, Winner Take All Tag Strap, Backseat Boys versus the Rep versus the Unit. So, yes, you will see this match in the future. It is in the books. It's all out there online. You can catch highlights on social media, but you will see that in a future iteration of Trip TV. When? I can't say for sure. It might take, it might be a week, might be a month, who knows, but you will see it in the future. And you will see any non-SPO wrestling matches featuring the backseats and our wonderful cast of characters, be it, as we call them, the Justice Friends or the OGs. You will see that in Trip TV moving forward.
Oh, yeah. Trip TV last week, everyone, thank you for sticking around at 8 o'clock and watching it. It was like 10:15 at night, and there's still a bunch of us on here watching it, chatting and talking. Yeah. It held our attention. Thank God. So great job with it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like you guys said, it's up on Cage Match, and we didn't even put it there. You know,
no, we didn't. That's good.
No. So someone's paying attention.
The backseat universe runs wild.
Yeah.
That's right.
Every now and again, it happens. It happens.
Right.
But anyway, so Danger Ginger said, Trip TV had me hooked more than NXT, and I have seen it all already. So he had already seen all the episodes. So good. Thanks, Danger Ginger. Thanks for saying that. So
we appreciate that, bro.
Yep. Yep. Future episodes are going to shine just as bright. Guys, I have a new segment I want to debut tonight. Is now a good time to do it, you think, or is it a little too early?
Let's do it up.
Do a new segment?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. My new segment is called You're Going the Right Way. All right. So I always say coincidences or signposts on the side of the road saying we're going the right way. Well, here's my story, everybody. This is a cool little story for everyone that I may have told in my shoot interview. When I was in CZW, Brian, you'll remember when we were doing the NWA Wildside Invasion and Bill Barons was sending the NWA Wildside guys up and we did an 8-man tag. It was me and three guys, me, Trent, Nick Burke, and Ty Street against all the Wildside guys. And Brian gets up and leaves. Just so anyway. So I know ahead of time that Trent and I are going to jump off the top of the ECW arena entranceway. We knew it ahead of time. It was planned.
Yeah. Okay.
And we knew that there was like six guys down there to catch us, so it shouldn't be an issue, even though we're both jumping pretty much at the same time, which is odd. So the night before, I'm asleep and I have a dream. And in the dream, I do the dive. And they don't catch me, the C parts. And I land hip first on the cement of the ECW arena floor and I shatter my hip bone. And my wrestling career is over. I still remember the pain I felt in the dream. So I wake up. It's now Saturday morning. We're going to do the dive that night at CZW. On the way to CZW, on the way to the ECW arena, I stopped at Modell's Sporting Goods and I got an indoor hockey girdle hip pad gimmick. And I put it on underneath my pants for just for the hell of it. Time comes. We do the jump. You can already see where this is going. the C parts. You can see the video. I have it on video. No one catches me. I pretty much land a leg drop right on the cement, right on the hip that I had the dream. And if I did not have that hip girdle on, I probably was going to shatter my hip and my whole career would be over. So when things like that happen, you say, okay, obviously I'm going the right way. Obviously someone wants me to be a wrestler. And the reason I'm telling this story is because I actually take wrestling seriously. I know that's markish to say I take wrestling seriously, but I do. I take it pretty damn seriously. And when things like that happen in a dream, how do you argue with that? Like, has anything like that ever happened to any of you guys?
I actually could think of, you know, an instance like that where, you know, I guess now that you say it is sort of a sign on the right direction. I had a dream that my brother and I were wearing what at the time was a brand new set of wrestling tights. And our trainer at the time, a gentleman by the name of Pat Book, in my dream, took note of my gear. And I remember getting a message from him saying, "Nice gear. Can you be at TV?" And I kid you not, a year later, when JP and I were helping out at TNA, Pat came over to us after having seen us with another new set of tights and said, "Can you guys be at, you know, Raw? Do you, is your blood work good?" So sign, you know, similar things. Dreams are telling you you're going the right direction. So, and both involving gear. Your case was, you know, for protection. For us, it was look to par, be ready, be TV ready. You know, and then just another real quick thing. Last week on the way to meet Jay and Too Tough Tony, we saw a Bigfoot in the back, like a windshield, like a Bigfoot windshield. And I went to go take a picture. And right as I went to go take a picture, unfortunately, he drove away. But for those of you who know, if you see Bigfoot, that's Joe's favorite thing, Bigfoot. Yeah. So
yeah, and taking pictures of Bigfoot is elusive. So it makes sense that you had trouble taking a picture of it.
Yes.
Yeah, we saw Bigfoot and we also saw a clown on the back of a truck. So again, like two coincidences, you know, just what are the odds of that?
Interesting.
I don't really have anything. I can't really say it's positive. If anything, I've just had crazy dreams where, let's say, I show up to a show without my boots or my gear or something like that. But thank God it's like nothing crazy like that has ever happened. If anything, I've left like minor things like pads or just entrance things, you know what I mean? But
compression shorts.
Yeah. Those are, yeah. I mean, yeah.
JP Grayson is notorious for leaving behind just the most inconveniently convenient piece of attire, whether it's his belt, his knee pads or his elbow pads. And yeah.
It's like having dreams of going to school naked or something like that.
Right. I remember having dreams even when I wasn't in the business where the ring announcer saying your name and you're like behind the curtain and your boot still isn't tied and you're trying to tie that boot real fast so you don't miss your cue. Yeah. And you just wake up with such anxiety. You know, I used to have those dreams.
Yeah.
Have you had the big bump dream yet where like you're falling off a big building and you wake up and it's like you legitimately like took the bump?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely. I've had that. But guys, so we announced a little something for November 2nd. I'm going to show this little slideshow right now. I think it's a good time as any. So check this out, everybody. Tickets are now available at SpoWrestling.com. Look at that handsome guy in the middle. Donnie B. Big 80s.
Worst picture ever.
I know. I'm sorry. I tried.
It's okay.
I tried so hard. I was going to use your creator wrestler with the long hair because I think that's just the most badass picture. I do love it.
I want to see Donnie B. with the big, long, you know, flowing locks again. I think that would be dope.
It was something. I told my wife once or twice I was going to grow my hair again. And my daughters and my wife looked at me like, what? But listen, long hair. The secret to long hair, Donnie B. I'd come out like all kempt and then, you know, jacked in shape and looking good. My hair was done, but by the end of the match, my hair would be out. I'd take the tie out. It'd be all frizzled. I'd be bumped. My shirt jacket would off. Like I'd be all put. The Ratchet came up with that idea. I'd come out all dressed to the nines and looking good, but by the end of the match, we had been through so much. Whether it was with Johnny and Trent or with Ratchet, I would be completely disheveled. So it looked like physically I had to go through a ton of shit, even though I was on the outside, to get us a victory. I only really did that if we were going over. If we weren't, then I usually kept everything in place. But,
yep.
A little psychology, Donnie, brother.
I was managing these guys Saturday in their three-way tag with the rep and the unit and these guys. And for the first time, Donnie, since I've been their manager, I actually forgot I was managing them for about 25 seconds and just got caught up in the action like a fan. Like,
I did that
seriously
with you guys numerous times. When you guys used to work Nova and Frankie a lot, I did that several times. I think I even forgot one or two spots. When we were in Trinidad and Tobago, I specifically remember it like it was yesterday. I was supposed to come in the ring with something, one of the ladders broke. And I'm like, oh, yeah, shit, look at that. How are they going to get up there? I'm like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to be holding the ladder.
But, yep.
Yeah. True story.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So, Brian Logan.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell the hat?
I like a point Donnie brought up there. When you guys were on the road working Frankie and Nova, because basically if they did the Pittsburgh loop with Donnie, I didn't see them. But then they're with me on the east on this side of the loop. Donnie wouldn't see them. But I noticed you and Verdi's work got not the backseat tag work. I can see a difference after working a loop with Frankie and Mike that you had that you didn't have before. I mean, you could see a real advancement in your work, your psychology, your tag spots, everything after working teams that were, well, I'm not say better than you, but just at least in your level or more experienced than you. Because usually, no disrespect to anybody in the Indies around here, you carried most of your opponents. Yeah. It was rare you guys got to work a team where, well, we can go all out because they're going to be there for everything, or, you know, Mike and Frankie can call this. It was rare you guys worked teams of that level, or Chetty was another one they would throw in there sometimes too, where guys that you could work where you only had to worry about your own stuff. You didn't have to carry something else. You didn't have to plan their spots. Yeah. It was always a thrill for me to see you guys work teams that had as much experience or the same ability as you, because the matches would be different. I always thought Johnny was always better at getting better matches out of more limited people, where Verdi was better at working with guys that can do more. There was a tournament Carino had, the Legacy Cup tournament. And the way it broke down, it was Christopher Daniels, the guy they brought in for it, who was, of course, a huge name, incredible worker. Johnny and Trent worked singles in this tournament. Adam Flash and Danny Rose, shout out to them if they're listening, which they're probably not, but I'll say it anyway. Each worked Daniels, Johnny worked two guys, and then Daniels and Johnny in the finals. And everybody expected it to be, you know, Trent and Daniels in the finals, which may have been a more flashy match. But I remember earlier on in the tournament, Trent worked this kid, Chino Martinez or something like that.
Chino, yeah, from
Jersey. And I remember saying to Keener, I'm like, I understand what they're doing. I'm not, you know, tearing the Carino's book. I'm just saying is Johnny would have got a better match out of Martinez, and Verdi probably would have had a better match with Daniel. Just because
it was Gino Giovanni.
Giovanni, I'm sorry.
You're right, Donnie.
Because when Verdi would wrestle guys that were needed to be carried a little more, instead of carrying a guy, Verdi would, God rest your Verdi, but he would make sure you knew Verdi was way better than the other guy. And I always thought that was selfish. Barr did it too. Barr would, I'm not going over. Well, fuck it. I'm going to make this guy look like shit.
No, Gee, listen, you got a point. But the greats have that in them, that little bit of piss and vinegar where they're like, this guy's not on my level. You know, I'm either going to bring him up to it or I'm going to steamroll him. And the thing with Frankie and Mike, you got to understand, dude, at that point, they were Evolution. And that's what their team name was out in California. They were working for Bassman. They were working all over the country. They were the best team on the planet. They were two of the best wrestlers in the world at that point. Like, they were fucking wrestling with Edge and Christian, Cena, all these guys out for Rick Bassman, dude. Like, twice a month they were going out there and all over the world. And the first time they worked Johnny and Trent, Mike came in the back afterwards, said, he knew Johnny was pretty good, and they were young yet. Everybody was. But Mike said to me, Johnny's better than I thought he was, and Trent is 10 times better than everybody says he is. That's what he said to me. Mike had no reason to lie. He goes, Johnny Cashmere is definitely better than I thought he was, and Trent's 10 times better than anybody says he is. He said, these guys are better than advertised. That's what he said to me. And that was for Jim Miller up in Pittsburgh.
Johnny had the better mind for the business, where Trent, all he worried about was the match. And that's why I thought it was a good combination. Yeah, because the backseat outfits, which you had influence in, I mean, Trent would still be wrestling. Nothing against this, but his mind was on the work. It wasn't on the gimmick. But
that's why it worked. Johnny was business. Trent was the Flash.
He had both.
Flash. Yeah, that's what most of the great teams are.
Yeah, both.
You know what was good, too, though, Donnie? And the guys, Brian picked up on it, is after our matches with Nova and Kazarian, your brother Nova would sit us down and say, guys, look, you did good, but here's how you can improve. And one of the things he really drilled into us was what we do between spots. Like Trent and I were just going from spot to spot as if it was memorized. Like, have to do this, then this, then this, then this. And in between the two, there weren't natural transitions. It was robotic. And he got us stopping time enough to start seeing that, you know? So the next time we would wrestle whoever, we'd say, well, let's try to implement the things Nova taught us.
Yeah. I didn't see that a lot today, yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was something, as a referee, you get to see all the work up close. It's the best seat in the house. And when I mean, obviously I worked a lot of different places, but you would see the difference. I would see it the first time I saw it when Sammy would wrestle sometimes for his dad. Lloyd would sometimes too. Stevie Richards, I saw it. Flash, I saw it a little bit. Nova, I saw it. And what I would see, what stood them apart from guys they were working, and these are top level indie guys, but still they were still a step off. Stevie, Nova, there was not one wasted microsecond of what they were. There was no stutter step. There was no fixing your elbow pad. There was no adjusting your tights or
touching your nose.
Everything they did had a purpose or was leading to something. There was no wasted motion. And to me, it was the first time I could tell who really knew how to, and it comes from habit, from being in the ring, time. Some pick it up quicker than others, but it was the first little tiny detail that I could see where you could tell guys were just, I don't want to say light years, but to me, it's all about the details and how easy they make everything look, and it's not easy.
Right.
And yet they put it together like it's nothing.
And another thing we had going for us, Guy, is that Donnie specifically put us against Nova and Kazarian so that we could learn certain lessons. It wasn't just so he could draw a house.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
He was looking out for us. We had someone looking out for us.
Guys, they were a step above. Like when you say you don't want to say it, like, no, it's okay to say that. These guys were light years ahead of most of the guys. Lance Diamond, Reckless Youth, Ace Darling, Nova. I'll throw Ratchet in there. Devin Storm, Big Jerry Tootie. Like all these guys. I know I'm forgetting a few. Inferno Kid. There was a clear, in that time, there was a clear cut. Yeah, of course, these guys. But a clear cut line of delineation from the haves and the have-nots on the indie scene. I have no idea what it really is like now, but there was that certain core group of that 15 to 20 guys in the tri-state area that were the shit. Loki and then Loki, Amazing Red, and all those guys on the hit squad. But I'm saying like, from that mid to early 90s, before late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, and that's what it was, dude. Yeah. They were the fucking guys, and that everything ran through them. And iron sharpened iron. It's no secret.
You know, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Too.
Steve Corino was in that class of guys.
Corino, absolutely, dude.
Yep.
Man.
Oh, yeah,
And bringing that up, Donnie, you'll know this better than me. Cornette, I think finally I heard him say it once. Back when I started to work the indies, you'd see Cornette would come in and do indies once in a while, and you'd wonder, like, why aren't these guys getting jobs? I mean, they're all good. And Cornette, like, you're not going to just ask him. I think I heard it in the podcast or someone asked him. He said, the problem was, he said, there was plenty of guys I wanted to sign. The guys that worked for Dennis. I couldn't even, Brian Hildebrand even. He said, the problem was during the Monday Night War, Vince did not want to hire anybody that didn't have at least 10 years experience on television. There wasn't already over. There was no room to that. Sure, he had projects he had, but the projects he had were guys like Dave Bautista. They were projects that you obviously saw that were going to be they were going to be given a shot. Where he said
no brainers,
just wasn't time or resource to put into guys that you didn't instantly think were going to be money. Mm-hmm. And because I always thought Tom Carter was a victim of bad time, because if you look at the style of wrestling today, he pioneered all that 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think Reckless was just a victim of bad timing, because, all those guys, and if you think about it now, there's there used to be a wall between the indie guys and the TV guys, right? You didn't see like indie guys. There is, but there's not. Like, I remember right before Samoa Joe got hired, not TNA, before Vince hired him, Jim Ross would never have any idea who Samoa Joe was prior to this. But social media has given these guys an audience and a platform that they never would. Donnie, what do you think ECW would be like if it had the internet?
My God.
If you had Twitter around. ECW.
Yeah. Yeah.
GoFundMe for ECW. It's just, what I'm just saying is there was
only fans.
There's avenues available today that just weren't back then. And now these kids all now, I'm glad to see all of them have a chance to make money, whereas, or have shots on TV. I mean, it's not all good. It's not all bad, but I would say now the chance to make a living in the business is better than it's probably ever been since probably the territory days. I don't think that gets talked about enough. Like people talk, like, to me, this may sound cold-hearted. This may sound like I'm no fun, but when people used to rip on Zandig, John Zandig made a full-time living in the business for at least three or four years. To me, it was how much money he made. It wasn't how many five stars you got in Meltzer's ranking, or how many Hurricanranas you hit in your tournament. It was how much money did you make at the end of the day. To me, to make a living in the business really says how successful you are or were.
And that's part of you being trained by Afa and people that know what the hell they're doing. Time-honored people, you know. I mean, Brian had Afa in my living room, sitting in my...
I didn't have him there. You brought him in for the booking.
We were like 19, and Afa's eating dinner in my living room, in my kitchen. That was insane.
No shirt on.
But hey, thanks. Phil, I want to say hey to Phil Stamford. Thanks for being here, brother. How you feeling? How's your knee, bro?
Hey, everybody. It's getting better. It's getting better. There was a little bump in the road, but things are going better now, so... Yeah. Glad to be
missed
here.
You, buddy.
Well, thank you.
You feeling all right? How was your trip to Iowa? I heard you flew to Iowa to the corn.
I did. Yeah, all the children of the corn were out. It was a crazy time at Wrestling Revolver this past weekend. So you can catch that on Fight. Great event, solid event. But now it's like, okay, I get to come home again and just take a breath, take a breather.
Yeah.
By home, you mean the Spokecast.
Exactly.
I said, I love when we have people over to the house. We have Brian Logan tonight. He's come over to hang out. We got lucky because we couldn't have Mr. Bristow this week. But Phil, let me tell you something, brother. This past Saturday, the back seats had a banger. And the word banger gets thrown around too much in matches. This actually was a banger. I was there firsthand. I can tell you it was the best match I've seen them have. It was them versus the rep versus the unit. And a few things I got to say off the top. When this airs on Trip TV, you guys will see it with your own eyes. The chop Dave McCall hit Tommy Grayson with, it shattered my teeth when I was around the ring. It was the worst, sickest chop I've ever seen in my life. I looked at JP right on the apron. I said, your brother's earning his money tonight. Dude, at one point, Tommy went to hit the ropes and someone pulled the rope and he fell through and his head hit the apron. If it was a microscopic to the right, he would have hurt his neck. Like, it was just, Donnie, you would have been so proud. Guys, you had to be feeling it come Sunday. Yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, nothing I'm not used to, but you said it best. I definitely earned my keep that night.
Yeah.
And to hear you use the word banger, because I know to hear it from you means it actually was one. That's one of the clarification points here, too, because you're right. So many people toss that word around, not realizing like it means something when it's a banger. Like, it's not just it was a good match. Like, no, it went to a whole different kind of level. So to hear you say that makes me know, like,
banger is like the word legend. Somebody who's been around for 6 months, they go, oh, introducing the legend. Look at the fuck, or a Hall of Famer. And the guy never wrestled out of anywhere but Jackson, New Jersey or something. You know what I mean? Like, when people start saying that, that's one of my pet peeves. An independent wrestling Hall of Famer. Not
Brian,
GCW,
what about when
that was pretty
what about when people say I have one or two runs left in me?
It's very triggering to me.
You can't have a nether run when you never had a run. You know what I mean? Right. That's what when people go, oh, I'm going to retire from the... You never run the fucking business. You never found a W-2.
You don't retire, you just stop taking bookings.
Yeah. Unless you fill out a W-2 as a professional athlete and got to write off expenses like gym membership and cars and all that. If you didn't do that, shut the fuck up. Yeah, you weren't in the business. It was a hobby. That's cool. But I hate when people say that. Oh, after 20 years, I'm retiring. From what? Less than once every 2 months in front of the same 50 people at a fire hall?
Which is back to what I was saying before. Donnie's saying the same thing I was. It was about how much money you made. It wasn't about your star ratings.
I made more as a promoter than probably every single indie guy at that time combined. So, you know, a big deal. I didn't retire from the business. I just stopped doing it. I didn't fucking retire. It's the stupidest thing. But whatever.
I'm older. Like, I'm older. I'm not older than Donnie, but I'm older. And
it's true.
I don't know how to explain it. Like, things just change, I guess is the best way to put it. Things change. The business changes. What matters to you changes. Things just change. And if you guys all love it, I remember it was like for me when I had the passion for it and it mattered more than anything else. That's great. You have something in your life like that, but just prepare yourself. It won't always be like that. And I think a sad thing is I think a lot of the guys, even the guys who have made lots of money with no exit plan, there's horror stories. And some of these guys have made millions of dollars. Yeah. I think the guys now are smarter. They've learned from a lot of the tragedies that came up during our time. The drug deaths, the suicides, the Pillman stories. And I think the guys are smarter, but still you're going from living in a really upside down world. Yeah. And reality doesn't run on the same rules.
Well, what's funny is when Noble was in charge of talent relations, he tried to implement financial literacy, life after wrestling, all these things he tried to implement when he was head of developmental. And they shot him down every single time. They said, absolutely not. Vince didn't want any part of that shit because, you know, the slave master owns the slaves. You know what I mean? But he tried. But now, as part of NXT and the NIL deals and all, they have financial literacy. They have all that for life after being an athlete. And Mike actually goes to OVW and teaches financial literacy classes for Al Snow and what it's like to be an athlete after the spotlight fades and all that for life after wrestling. So, which I think is phenomenal.
That's important.
Awesome, dude. That's huge. The average career of a contracted pro wrestler is probably 3 to 5 years, if you think about it. Yeah. This fucking 10, 15, 20-year careers, that ain't happening anymore, man. Guys like Kofi Kingston, these other guys, that's awesome. They've been R-Truth. They're going to be the anomalies, these 15, 10, 15, 20-year careers. That ain't happening no more, man. You're going to squeeze 5 years, especially if it's NIL guys or guys who didn't grow up as a fan, like,
Donnie
or Kevin Owens, you know what I mean? Like, those are the guys who are going to be lifers.
And Donnie, to that point also, you know, when you get into this business, not necessarily knowing anything beyond like what you see in the ring, it's very hard to, especially if you start in a developmental feeder system like NXT or like AEW, if you get released after a year and all you know is that home base system, you're fucked more than if you started on the indies because not only do you know just as much, if not less, than everyone around you and your peers, but because you came from that system, you quote unquote demand a higher price. So what is Joe Schmo running independent going to pay? The 6'3" guy who, you know, lifts weights, or the 6'6" guy from NXT, you know, who's charging $600 an hour plus flight and trans and all that. So to that point, you know, they really set a lot of these guys up. I don't want to say to fail, but like just not with the best intentions. And there has to be a life, not even just after wrestling, but post contracted wrestling.
Yeah. Listen, NXT's goal and developmental is not to fucking hold your hand. It's to do what they can to find the next stars that can draw money and draw crowds on the main roster worldwide, not just in the United States. That's what they're looking for. All the other shit is ancillary.
Global stars.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
And notice you said that word again. Draw. You said that phrase again that is often missed today. Draw money.
That's it. That's the two words of the wrestling business. The only two words that matter in the goddamn wrestling business are draw money. Right now, if you call Jim Cornette and say, what's the two most important words in wrestling business? I bet you he'll say, draw money. If you fucking call Vince McMahon and say, what's the two words? Well, I don't know if he'd answer the phone.
NDA is three words, technically.
Three letters, Phil.
Three letters.
Draw money. That's it. Draw money.
There's a certain promoter that I won't name here. Oh, DJ Hyde. When he took
over when he took over
from John, and I said, I'm done. He's like, well, I'm gonna be running the place now. I said, okay, DJ, you're gonna be running the place now. What is your most important job as a promoter? My most important job? Yes. It trumps everything. Well, it's to have a good note. To book, no, it's not to do any of those things. It's to sell tickets. Because if you don't have anybody to do it in front of, you can have the greatest match in the world. But if it doesn't have one watching it, it didn't generate any income. The most important job of any promoter is to sell tickets to a show. People have gotten so far away from that because, well, I'll be honest, the people that ran the territories weren't wrestling fans. They were business people that used wrestling to make money. They didn't take, I'm going to open up a wrestling company because I have $5 million. They used a wrestling company to make $5 million.
Yeah. Now, wait, let us clarify. Phil, I think you might agree with me on this. When we say sell tickets, I think you have to modify that a little bit. When we mean that, I mean go into your pocket and spend your disposable or not disposable income on the product, whether it be in the form of a streaming service or tickets to a live event. All that stuff is when I say you go in the pocket and support pro wrestling. That's what you got to do. That's what we mean by selling tickets. So,
gotcha.
It was Gene Simmons that I heard say it first. He said it's not called music. It's the music business. It's the same thing with wrestling. It's not really called wrestling. It's called the wrestling business. Without the business, there really is no wrestling.
I mean, no, without the business, it's the hobby.
Yeah. Doing the indie calendar, it frustrates me sometimes. Like, I'll be searching around for events to add to it, and I go to a page, and it's like, oh, there's nothing. I don't see anything about their event. And I go back a week later, and it's, oh, here's photos from our Saturday event that we just had. No conversation about it. No talking about it. Eight people are in the photos. Oh, it's like, what? Why even run at that point? You're just digging a bigger hole for yourself.
Ego.
Well, it depends on what their goal is. If their goal is to hang out with their friends, like, you see this with bands a lot. When bands play in bars, because I'm no expert, but I'm going to guess when a huge bar, when they hire a band, they're going to want them to play cover songs. So the people sing along and buy tickets, but that's selling out. And they want to hang out in a tiny bar with no people but their friends and sing all the original songs that no one knows.
Right.
It's that line. It's just that but if your goal is to make money as a business, there's going to be things you have to do that are – maybe not true to the passion, but they kind of got to go together.
Yep. And Brian, you know, Brian hit me up. You're a big fan of Kevin Sullivan, who recently passed too.
Yes.
And a lot of the conversations we've had, you talk about the way Kevin Sullivan thought about the business and his booking prowess and things like that. And I just think it's interesting that we've always been around bookers, you know, Donnie B. You know, like we've always had bookers in our midst, you know, so for you to always have that connection with Kevin was interesting. And I think you have more to offer. Like just hearing you say certain things, you might not be finished yet.
Well, Kevin Sullivan also learned under Graham. I mean, and Graham learned under Funk Sr. Like some of these names that I'm going to talk, Donnie's probably going to know who I'm talking about, but there's a huge name. I almost get mad when it gets left out, because Vince McMahon is about to drop that huge documentary. The name Jim Barnett,
Jim Barnett, my pronoun boy.
He's right. My boy. Often everybody does a Jim Barnett voice, but to me, WWE would not be what it is today without Jim Barnett. The Monday Night Wars really didn't start with Ted Turner. They started with Ole Anderson throwing Jim Barnett out of Georgia Championship Wrestling for taking money. Jim Barnett booked the first World Championship Wrestling in Australia. This is in the late 60s, and it was the most profitable territory in the world.
Yep.
Jim Barnett was the one that got Vince all his national outlets for his TV show, because when Ole threw him out, Barnett went right to Vince. Barnett was on the arts and something for President Carter's department in the White House. Jim Barnett was one of the original territory creators back when they ran huge shows nationally and then broke into territories. Jim Barnett had contacts in politics. Jim Barnett was probably the most unsung key power person. Vince McMahon would not be where he is today without Jim Barnett.
I agree wholeheartedly with that statement.
And he's often forgotten, and I hate hearing that because he wasn't. And think about this. This was a known homosexual man that wasn't a wrestler in the 60s and 70s. Trying to keep it low key, but everybody says, oh, my boy, this guy, I mean, being a successful homosexual promoter and a known payoff guy who did really well, and wrestling in the 70s was a tough place to be. And a guy like that to rise to prominence shows you how much everyone liked him. Why? Because he paid well. When Jim Barnett hired you or booked you, you were going to make money. And then when he was done with you, he'd send you, hey, I made some plans. You're going to work for Dusty and Eddie Graham in Florida. You're going to have a 2-month run down there, my boy. We'll see you on the way back. Guys like that, I mean, you'll never see another one, but at his funeral, there was Brian, almost
no. Let me tell you something, Brian. I used to love when Donnie would tell us, he would use the term, it was better than it deserved to be. Right. Do you remember that? About a match or something?
Yeah.
You know? First of all, you tonight are better than we ever. You're doing great, Brian. Your analysis, it's so refreshing. Yo, I'm shoot proud of you, bro. You're kicking ass tonight.
Johnny, I'm going to say something right now. I swear to God, I am really impressed with Gee tonight.
Yeah.
Write it down.
You should bow out now. But I'm just saying, I let the cat out of the bag, behind the curtain. I don't hang out with Gee. We probably haven't been in the same room in 20 years, but, we're friends. I consider him a cool guy. I have no heat, no issue.
Yeah, we see him. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm telling you right now, I'm very impressed with Brian Logan's knowledge and his information that he has and his views on the business. They're very current. They're very correct. But we're in the small minority, guys like him and I, that think like that or with our booking philosophies. And who knows? I mean, I would like to see these things taught and whether it's in super camps or shit like that. I have no idea how it'd be done, but when you lose the history of the business, you lose it all.
I said since day one that Gee was needed at Spo Wrestling, and to have Brian be able to talk to Ref Jason was that was just when worlds collide. So I think that referees who have passion for wrestling are literally the last example of the last of a dying breed.
Keeter taught me a lot too, and he was a worker as well. And Finnegan taught him stuff. I mean, being a referee is not a position people desire to go into, but the way I looked at it in my day was I didn't have the physical gifts that the others did, but I still wanted to have a role to play.
And Brian Hildebrandt, the Hebners, Charles Robinson, all
Fonzie.
Yeah. Yeah. Tommy Young. Look at all these legendary figures, man. They made a hell of a career in the fucking business as a referee because they're few and far between.
Donnie, you were saying before that you really like that team called the Outrunners, that you feel they have a lot going on, the AEW team and everything. Yep. So we got it. Before we end, we have to talk about yesterday. The Backseats wrestled the Outrunners. Guys, you got to tell us about this because this is pretty exciting. Yeah, what happened yesterday, guys?
So yesterday we drove up to Toronto, Ontario, Canada for Superstars of David. They are an organization that promotes the history and the culture of Judaism in sports and, athletes and whatnot. They honor pretty much all, Jewish sports people. And they ran a charity event yesterday. Myself and JP were a part of it, and we got to wrestle the Outrunners for the number one contendership for the Jewish Tag Team Championships, which are currently being held by the Cult Cuts, a.k.a. Brandon Cutler and Colt Cabana. This match, of course, will be another...
Wait, what? The Cult Cuts?
The Cult Cuts, yes. That is their tag team name.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's great. Cabana was there yesterday. He sends his regards to everybody, especially you, Big 80s. And
I love Cabana.
Yeah, he's another really great underrated mind for the business.
A good human being too.
Yes, yes.
Took a lot of arrows from a certain individual from Chi-Town that he didn't deserve.
Well, shouts out to Colt. Shouts out to Officer Colt because he's the man.
Still the best fill in wrestling.
If you were to ask us, like, even just a few weeks ago, if, like, this match would even, like, come to our mind, I don't think my brother and I would just say probably keep dreaming or something like that. But, again, this was just – it felt like it was a – I mean, just a once-in-a-lifetime almost opportunity in a way. And, the fact that it happened and we were able to do what we love and represent our – religion, heritage, our culture, everything, and just into one setting, it was awesome. Outrunners were awesome tag team, had an awesome match with them. They were so much fun in the ring. I mean, so collaborative, and it just the styles and the characters, the gimmicks, everything into just one. It was a sight to see.
It's money.
It was awesome.
Yeah, you know money when you see it. It's the Midnights versus the Rock and Rolls. The LOD versus the Horsemen. It's that kind of shit, man. It only comes along every now and then.
They brought so much out of us. I mean, just again, like the little things make such a big difference. And we just, I mean, when you see the footage, when we get everything back, you'll see.
I can't
just,
wait. Bro, they're a TV ready team.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we had to amp it up. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, this is what I'll say. Outrunners versus the Backseat Boys will be airing on the future syndication of Trip TV, so you can stay tuned for that. And I guarantee you that Backseat Boys versus the Outrunners Part 2 will be happening at an event near you. Stay tuned.
It's a feud that could go for a long time, man. And I told you guys last week when you told me you're working them, I said, do me a favor. On Monday night, get on the phone. I want to put them over. And you did. We FaceTimed last night, and they could not have been cooler. They were totally smart to everything. They knew everything. Like, they're totally hip and cool. I was really excited for them. I talked to them. I put them over. Just good brothers. Real good. Just good to see it, man. I said to them, I've been waiting 25 fucking years for somebody to do what you guys are doing. Literally, what you're doing, I wanted somebody to do in, like, 2000, 2002. But everybody thought I was nuts. It would never work. And they're finally doing it.
Yeah,
I'm so happy to see it.
And Donnie, like, I think next time these guys go up there, you should go with them and manage them, and I'll go hang out at your house for the day. That'd be more fun for me.
How far is that drive? That's too far.
8 hours.
Sorry.
Just about 8 hours. I mean, for us to do that on a Monday, I mean,
yes,
that's huge. That's living the dream right there.
Fucking A, man. It's so awesome, you know? Dude. And like, that's the kind of, like, you never know where those roads
lead,
man.
In another country.
He's right, bro. You never know where they're going to lead.
Yep. That's the kind of shit, like, your name comes up somewhere, and, like, an Outrunner says, or Truth, or Floyd goes, hey, man, yeah, we wrestled them in Canada 3 weeks ago. This guy's good. Like, you know what I mean? That's how jobs are gotten. I don't give a shit what anybody says. So-and-so goes to so-and-so, and so-and-so says to so-and-so. How's these guys? And it trickles right up the ladder.
It's all about relationships. And that's in the real world.
Wait a minute. What did Simon Gotch teach us, Johnny?
Advocates. We need
building advocates. That was the smartest thing I heard on this podcast. He said he didn't spend enough time in WWE building advocates.
Yep.
That's what you need. An advocate could be the last guy you wrestled on the last show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And don't forget the Simon Gotch seminar, everybody. What a chance to learn from a guy. Now, Donnie B's been in the business how long? And you just said you learned from Simon Gotch. So
I learned a lot from him.
Every man is my superior in that I may learn from him.
I sponsored 3 spots, Johnny. I have picked I told you I was going to pick one. I did pick the individual. Yep. I will let you know who it is, but I will not publicize it because I don't want this individual to be treated any differently when he's there that day. He knows who he is. I will tell you, Johnny. And then it's going to be awesome, dude. The other 2 you guys can pick, but that thing should be sold out right there.
Yep. Email bookingsimon@yahoo.com. $30 in advance, $40 if you show up the day of November 2nd, 12:30 p.m. right at Harris Casino. You're going to learn from Simon Gotch. Trust me, I've learned a lot from Simon Gotch. He's one of the few people that I actually do sit under the Gotch learning tree, so to speak. That's all the rave now to say, right? Yeah. The learning tree.
That's right. That's right.
Phil, make sure Phil, you get. We've gotten so many opportunities from just doing seminars. So whoever's watching this, if you know, just. And go Phil, go to a seminar. You never know what can happen. You'll come out better.
Get out of here, guys. I want to say what's
question
coming up.
For you guys
what do you guys got coming up this weekend, Phil, down in your neck of the woods?
Yes, thank you.
Out at Real Shoot Wrestling out in West Virginia. Then the weekend after that is MCW in Maryland.
Sweet. Nice.
Guy, what else you got going on? Guy, are you married, kids, or anything? What's your deal?
Oh my God, no.
I just wanted to ask you, but I knew the answer.
Gee, what is Gee, what's the worst area you've ever been in?
Couldn't wait to ask that.
Bad area with Brian Logan.
New segment.
Bad area for wrestling, or just bad area I've ever been in?
For wrestling.
Yeah.
In the United States?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, world renowned. Yeah.
Right.
In the U.S.
Well, locally, I would say is where most of the places where GWA used to run. I used to worry about my car sometimes when I was going to work their shows.
That was North Philly.
Now, all these guys were vouching for me. I drove a nice car when I was on the Indies. I didn't drive the shit box that these guys, that a lot of these guys drive. I drove a nice car. So sometimes I heard about going some places where there was like, you know, well, a place I wouldn't go unless I had
wrestling. He's so close. He's so close to getting canceled. Go ahead, Gee.
It's happening. keep talking, Gee.
No, but I weren't. I mean, I was only. No,
we're just messing with you. You're not going to get canceled. You're good. Look at him. He really thinks
he's for what? I was 21 years old. I had never been outside of where I lived. I didn't been outside of where I lived. I didn't know like what the rest of the world was like. So you worry about some stuff. You don't have the experience. You're going to worry
what
about.
Were you worried? What were you worried about in those areas?
Go ahead. My car getting stolen or broken
by
into.
Who?
Stop.
I'm just asking.
Brian,
all right.
Let me ask you a question. Hold on, guys. When you came to our show, July 13th. In Gloucester City, mm-hmm. and you came in the building. Where was your car?
Donnie, they want to hear me tell this. Okay,
go ahead. I don't know this.
Well, because I paid a guy $50 to watch it while I was at the show.
Really? Well, let me ask you: was your car there and intact and ready to go when you were done?
Yep, and he was waiting after his business closed. I told him I was going to give him 20 more if he waited another hour, and he did. And I paid him, and I went home.
Donnie, here's the kicker. There was a free parking lot directly across from the venue.
Yeah, but right. He got this guy to keep an eye on it and make sure it was there when he was done. I can't heal you, Gee. I would have done the same thing.
Nope.
Guys, was the 50 the initial offer? Is that what the guy wanted?
He didn't want to take any. I said, no, you're going to take this because, you know, you got work to do. I want you to keep an eye on it. And it was a bigger lot. It was closer.
So the negotiation started at 50. That was your initial offer.
There was no negotiation. It was your watch in my car.
Yeah, well, I said I'll be here in a couple hours.
I can't blame him. Johnny, I can't knock Gee. It's a smart play.
It is. Why not? He could have.
He needed some soup too. It was a Chinese restaurant. I parked where they bring up they bring in the product into the store.
And there it is.
You could have sponsored two of the young boys to wrestle on our show for that money.
Yeah. Yeah. So North Philly was worse than Detroit, Gee?
Well, Detroit was had that unknown factor to it too. They only been there once, right? And Detroit, I don't know the city that well. There one time. Look who I got.
I think you should go back. Yeah.
Do what?
JCW, Juggalo Championship Wrestling. You'll fit in here, Juggalo.
Detroit East.
The days of me traveling like that are long gone. We did all that in one week.
Brian, tell the world, what kind of shoes did you buy today?
4E. Let me take a guess.
Let's let Donnie guess.
You're never going to believe the shoes.
Extra wide. New Balance.
Nope.
Reebok.
Boots. Nope.
I'm at a standstill.
What's the last thing Brian Logan would wear?
Slides.
No.
Crocs.
That's good.
No, not Crocs.
No, I wouldn't buy them.
Tim.
I bought Jordan.
What did he buy?
Jordan.
Real Air Jordans?
Yeah.
Sam?
Oh, wear those to Detroit.
Sure. Right.
Let me see.
It's the Mustang.
He can't lift his leg up. He's got to take the shoe. Ah, okay, I knew that was going to
happen. Oh, my God.
It's the Mustang model.
The chair from my mom's kitchen.
You make it sound like it's not in my kitchen. Like, it's not a kitchen chair. It's exactly what it is.
I didn't heal you. I just said you got the same chair as my mom's kitchen.
It's the Mustang model. Brother. How many Mustangs have you owned in your life, Brian?
No, I'm on my 10th.
Really? I didn't know you were a Mustang guy. I had a 66 totally restored, and I had a 98 fastback convertible.
10!
You're on your 10th Mustang. How often are they in the shop, Gee?
Huh?
Yeah, he's going to get offended at that. That's offended Gee right there.
I just had my newest
one. He wears out the back seat, Johnny. He's
got the springs, brother.
Yes. You know, guys, this has been awesome. Phil,
we got to have Gee back.
Gee, I'm going to send you the thing every week.
Yeah.
We'll send it every week. But guys, before we end, there's one thing I want to say that's very important. The former fire chief in Burlington that allowed us to run at Mitchell Firehouse, his name is Peck.
I'll not let you back there again.
He passed away.
Oh no!
Nice gate.
It's not that they won't let us back there. We just haven't signed the gate yet. But he did. He passed away, and I just want to say that everyone in SPO Wrestling, our heart goes out to Peck and his family and all those guys at that firehouse that we love. Anything we can do to help, I've offered. So anything they need, please reach out. Anything we can do. Peck was an awesome guy. Burlington's my hometown. My own family, this is even kind of hitting hard, losing Peck. We loved him.
Yeah,
he was like a, he was like a Santa Claus in our city. Everyone knew Peck and loved Peck. So we're so sorry to lose
small
him.
Small town volunteer, small town volunteer firefighters are the backbone of a community, man. People don't realize.
Yeah.
As a police officer of 20 years, you don't realize how important those fire departments are, man.
Yeah.
So
that's a fact.
That's right. God bless him. May he rest in
that's
peace,
right.
brother.
That's right. So guys, next Tuesday we're gonna announce a match. We're gonna start building November 2nd, like we've never built an event before. So do not miss us right here on Tuesday night next week, 7 o'clock. Brian Logan, you think maybe you're going to come back to maybe tell the Hack Your Up story next week?
I think so. I want you back, Gee. I never thought I'd say that.
I'll tell you what, if Donnie's back, I
would hope so. My fucking picture's on the Mount Rushmore thing for the show.
The Mount Rushmore. Because I have a question for Donnie. We'll save it for next time.
See? Look at that.
Cliffhanger.
Leave us in suspense.
Cliffhanger.
Right, leave us everyone. In suspense.
All right. Backseats had a record-breaking week this week. The trifecta champions. You guys, I got nothing but mad respect. Me and Trent never did that shit.
No, that's and the Outrunners.
New ground. The backseats have broken new ground. They've officially lapped me and Verdi at this point, Donnie. What do you think about that shit?
Oh, man.
I don't think so.
Ways to go before that happens.
Punk asses. We got to trip them before.
Still got work to do.
Yeah.
Still got work to do, but we're further than we were and closer than we, have been.
Deserve to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than it deserved. That's tonight. Better than it deserves to be. So next week, we're going to get the Sandman Hack Your Up story from Brian Logan, and we'll have another edition of Bad Area. Next week,
Johnny. One last
there.
Thing, Johnny.
Yep.
In the words of Pat Tanaka, how is Gee?
Oh, we'll tell that story.
Yes, Pat tell Tanaka. That next week.
The words of Pat Tanaka were, "Hey, can you hook me up or can I borrow?" That's the real words of Pat Tanaka.
Next week, Gee. Save it for next week.
That's it. God bless everybody.
Bye bye.
How is Gee?